In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. It's a rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomas Nosek. On the right side wall, tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted path. Left circle. Carlson along. He scores! All through his legs! Carlson! Shorthanded! 3-2 Knights! Oh, can you believe it? Faceoff won by Belmar. Puck to the corner. Cleared out of the zone. And that's it! The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
And welcome in. Good Tuesday to you, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman with you today, and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. Well, he's making some plans because I think he's planning on going up to San Jose, but we still don't know when that's going to happen.
No, not yet. Every time you look at NHL.com hoping for an announcement, no announcement to be made.
Well, you know, maybe they go by that old adage of why do today what can be put off until tomorrow, because that seems to be the way that they're announcing the second round of the playoffs. The one thing we know for certain is the Vegas Golden Knights will indeed be taking on the San Jose Sharks, but we've known that for about a week or so now.
We know 7 of the 8 participants, Frank.
Yeah.
We know who the last one in is going to play. So, good times.
So no sense letting everybody know. You know, it's not like people have travel plans or they have to figure out where they're staying or if they're coming to a city or there's any media involved or anything like that. I mean, there's nothing outside of just go up and play the game, right?
You don't want to rush into this stuff, Frank. I mean, how much, what do we know about corporate America, people in general? Never, like right now, the NHL should be thinking about next year's playoffs, not this year's playoffs. They should be already thinking ahead to next year's playoffs.
No.
Instead, we're worried about what's going to happen later on this afternoon.
You know, it's kind of like with me being a Bears fan. I love the team, not crazy about the front office and decisions they make a lot of times. I love the NHL, and I love hockey. But I'm not always crazy about the way they run things all over the place. And, you know, and to his credit, when we've talked to Gary Bettman and had the chance to meet him and that kind of stuff, he's been very, very nice, very cordial, very polite in that. I just don't always necessarily agree with all of his decisions. Now, maybe he wouldn't agree with everything we've done here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show either, but I just think it could be a little bit smoother.
You just don't want to make a decision, Frank, that could cost you a couple of $1,000 by maybe not optimizing the best television matchup by planning too far ahead.
No. Well, just like you didn't want to optimize last night, and we have 2 games, let's start them a half an hour outside of each other.
Yeah, I'm not as upset about that. That was a lot of contention at the rink today, a lot of grumbling about that there was a 4 and a 4:30. Both of them are in the Eastern time zone. So, I mean, really, realistically, you're only looking at maybe being able to have an hour's difference instead of a half hour. And I think they went with the half hour because that allows you to cut in on intermission a little easier, and you're always guaranteed that you're going to have hockey to be able to do that. So that's probably why they did it that way. And they did have to guard against that. The West Coast games, they could have had one last night. They just ended early. So I'm not going to kill the NHL for a 4 and 4:30 like everyone did today at practice. But it would be nice to know where you're playing in 2 days.
I'm not going to completely kill them for it because this is the way they do it every year.
Mm.
But that being said, could it be done better? I think it could be.
Well,
but again, regardless, it doesn't matter. It's apples and oranges. I watch both games. I channel surf back and forth. And the one thing that I will say, at least in the past, they literally used to start both games sometimes at the exact same time. And that was just like, well, then you're having intermissions the same and everything else. At least with the half-hour stagger, when one team's between periods, the other game's going on. So they're a little bit better that way.
And I think that's why the half-hour is opposed to the hour, so that you can basically guarantee that you have live cut-ins. And for people that want to just skip the intermission and watch the whole thing. So for all the people that are complaining about it not being an hour later, that I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, no, and I actually do think the half-hour is better. But anyhow, we digress. Those series, that, like you said, there is a game 7, and I did find a couple Game 7 trends here. We're going to get to a little bit of Golden Knights news, but I thought I'd throw this in. I don't know if you had a chance to look all these over yet or not, but because everybody says there's nothing like a Game 7 in the NHL, well, if you're looking for trends and you're a gambler, which a lot of people in this town are, the team that scores first is 126-43 for a 746 winning percentage in the 169 all-time Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we always talk about how quick, how meaningful a first goal is. If you're doing that in-game wagering stuff, it might be a set you're interested in. Mm-hmm. The home team owns a 99-70 or a 586 advantage in the 169 Game 7s. And 41 Game 7s in the Stanley Cup playoffs have required overtime, or 24.3% of them. In those games, the home team has a 21-20 edge. So in overtime, basically it's a coin flip if it goes there.
It is a coin flip, but that 70-something percent of games not going to overtime would bode well for those that like to get a little bit better of a number on the favorite by saying that it's going to end in regulation.
So there you have that. Just a couple little trends there that I thought some people might find interesting, especially this being Las Vegas.
I wonder if RJ Bell would find that interesting.
He probably has it all down.
Probably tattooed on his brain.
It might be. We will see what happens in the Game 7. I'm excited about the Game 7. The only reason I'm not excited about Game 7 is because I think if there wasn't a Game 7, then we'd at least know what the game plan was for when the Golden Knights hit the ice. But we know it's going to be soon.
Yeah, soon. We'll
Everybody seems to be saying Thursday.
At least for us, it doesn't matter because we're just going down to the arena.
So exactly.
It doesn't
matter
if we go Thursday or we go Friday.
Yeah, we're going down to T-Mobile.
We're going down either way.
We're going up to Hyde, and then we're going over to Beer House.
Yep.
Whether it's Thursday night or Friday night. We either kick the weekend off or we start the weekend early on a Thursday, and then we have one game to talk about on Friday. So either way, we will get underway shortly. Vegas Golden Knights end the San Jose Sharks, and we'll be joined by Marcus White from NBC Bay Area today. Get a little insight on what's going on with San Jose. What do you make of this series? Because when I look at it, and I hear a lot of people saying it's like, well, you know, the three California teams are all the same. They're all heavy hitters. And then I know we've touched on this before. I do not think that San Jose is like Anaheim and L.A. I think they can be heavy like them, but kind of like Vegas can be heavy. They have some guys that are heavy hitters. But I think San Jose is by far the most skilled and fastest of the three California teams.
I think they're skilled. I think they're fast. I think they're young. They have a lot of players that are on the up and coming. I have a lot of players on their roster that George McPhee and Gerard Gallant, I think, would be very happy to have on their side. If you look at the Dylan DeMellos and the Timo Meyers and the Logan Couture's and Chris Tierney and that sort of generation of 24 to 27-year-old player with high upside and offensive skill, a lot of guys would translate and fit in very well. And we saw the two games that they played post-trade deadline were very entertaining. Hockey game is very close, very entertaining, and that's what I expect this series will be. And I don't expect it to be the 2-1, 1-0 games like we saw in Anaheim, or not Anaheim, in Los Angeles. I think we're going to see some 4-3s and some 3-2s and high up and down transition hockey.
Yeah, and I think it's going to go by the game-to-game thing. It could be on different nights we see completely different games because both these teams have offensive firepower, but they also both have goalies that are playing out of their mind. Everybody talks about Marc-Andre Fleury and his .977 save percentage, which is incredible. Well, Martin Jones had a .970 save percentage, so he's right up there as well. Both of them were 4-0 in their opening round playoff series. So we'll see how the games transpire. But another thing that I do think is interesting is both teams can score on all four lines. And that's important because the depth here. San Jose has one of the best fourth lines in the NHL. We know that Vegas has four lines that Gerard Gallant feels comfortable putting out at any time. I think there are a lot of similarities between these two teams, and I think people that are just looking at the way that Vegas dominated, at least in the win column during the regular season, if you're new to hockey, throw that out the window because it might be something to look at and it might be something to talk about, but it really means nothing.
When you think about guys that can get you a goal when you desperately need one, and you think about somebody on the Golden Knights like a James Neal, or you think about that top line with Carlson and Marchessault being go-to guys in clutch situations, you have that all over the place when it comes to the San Jose Sharks. If you need a goal, Logan Couture can do it. Pavelski can do it. Evander Kane can do it. If they get Joe Thornton back, he's somebody that can do it. So there's a lot of top-end guys, and there's a lot of really good depth both sides. So I think it's going to be a fun series.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the depth in that, certainly we had a chance to, earlier today over at City National Arena to catch up with Tomáš Nosek and ask him a couple questions.
Yeah, we asked him about getting into the groove of being into the playoffs, that he'd got his very first playoff series in his career out of the way, and what was that like?
It was very excited, very fun. I enjoyed it, and we get the win, so it's always good to get a win in the playoffs, for sure.
The fact that it was such a physical series against LA, is the extended layoff maybe a little bit better for some of your guys here to heal up some of those bumps and bruises?
Yeah, I think so. We get some good rest, I think, and I think it's pretty equal for them too, so that's good. Sometimes it's bad if you have like more days off to like. It's better to stay like in a game shape, but I think it's the same for both teams, so that's good.
Are you going to meet up with one of your old buddies and Tomáš Hertl on the San Jose Sharks? So, how have you played with him in the past? How much do you know about him from growing up?
Yeah, I played against him since I was a little kid. And then we met in the national team. So I know him well. I always play against him and with him. So looking forward to play against him, and hopefully we get the win.
When people think of the San Jose Sharks, a lot of people think that they're a heavy team like the other California teams with some wily veterans like Burns and Pavelski and Thornton should he return to the lineup. But they have a lot of speed on their team and a lot of good young players as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're a pretty heavy team, but they got pretty good speed too. So it's I think it's their weapon, and but we have our weapons too. So it will be pretty good series.
You've got Will Carrier back on your line, reunited the three of you with Belmare. What's that been like? How long did it take you to feel comfortable again with those two?
I think we felt comfortable right away after one game together, and I think we did a pretty good job to create some chaos in the offensive zone and don't let the other line score against us. So I hope we did a pretty good job, and we have to keep going and focus for our game.
You're one of the highest scoring teams in the league, but in the LA series, they were all low scoring, very close games. Do you see the same type of thing with San Jose, or do you think it might open up a little bit more and we might see some more goals scored? Because both goalies are really good, so it does have the potential to be low scoring again.
Yeah, I think the series with LA was about the goalies. I think Flower and Quickway, they were pretty good, and I don't know if it'll be different this series, but I don't know how, if it'll be like less goals or more goals, but if we win, I'll be happy.
And there's Tomáš Nosek today over there at City National. And, you know, he's one of those guys, he's a little bit more unassuming. He doesn't get a lot of stories written about him and that. You know, maybe a little bit quieter than some of the guys out there. But, again, one of the players that has been instrumental is this team truly is a team. Everybody knows about Carlson and what he's done, and certainly James Neal and David Perron and Marc-Andre Fleury, the face of the franchise, although he's the one in a mask on a nightly basis. But Nosek and the fourth line and the other guys that are thought of more as role players have played a variety of roles and are really crucial, and when you get production from them, then you generally have a feeling it's going to be a pretty good night for the VGK.
And Tomáš Nosek, one of those guys, is very similar to William Karlsson in that he plays on the PK, and he also has some offensive skill. Let's not forget, on the Czech national team, he's a top six forward, and he's playing here on the fourth line. So he's one of those guys you feel like if he got bumped up to one of the higher lines and played there consistently, that he would have pretty good numbers.
And, you know, that's one of the interesting things, too, because sometimes when you come to the NHL, the elite of the elite levels, you have to change your game and alter it or whatever. And I know, you know, we like to cross-reference other sports and that all the time. Some guys that might have been the superstar on their high school basketball team go to college, and all of a sudden they have a different role. They're not the scorer anymore. Well, it's the same in hockey in that. You might have been a superstar and known for your goal scoring, but you might have to go in the corners a little bit more or learn how to back check. Or even guys on this team that are successful, like Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault, the number one line, I still think, for my money, as good as any line in the NHL has been this season. You don't have to look any farther than the plus-minus to look at that. Every single one of of them, from the first time we met them in training camp, said that they wanted to become better all-around 200-foot hockey players, and they've all done that, and therefore they've all become better hockey players and a bigger asset to the team.
And you think about when those guys do play on their national team and how they're used differently. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, he's the number one center on the French national team. Tomáš Nosek, like I said, he's a top six forward on the French national team. You see that with guys in the NBA all the time that may be the 10th or 11th guy, but they're the starting power forward on their national team, a guy like Aaron Baines for Australia. And they have that different role, and they have that skill set. It's just there are so many other players that they're forced to do different things, but that elite-level skill is still there, and we see that in flashes with Tomáš Nosek. And like I said, if he got top 6 minutes of the top six lines, I think he'd be a very productive forward in terms of point.
Yeah, and again, Nosek, one of those guys, I really do think he's a big part of this team, and I do like his game, and when he's out there, I pay attention because he does a lot of the little things that maybe they don't show up in the box scores as much, or maybe they're not as flashy, but they are instrumental in having a successful hockey team, and that's what the Vegas Golden Knights are. Well, a guy who's a little bit more outspoken, and certainly everybody knows him in town. He's got one of the biggest smiles on the team. I think he's really enjoying life and was a little bit maybe not super happy when he first found out in the expansion draft that he was coming to Vegas. But and you can check out Helen Yee's video on LVSportsNetwork.com about Alex Tuch and the very cool story that she did with his father. And then when they thought about it and compartmentalized it, they went, wait, Vegas, baby. So Alex Tuch, Chris Chapman had a chance to sit down and talk with him the other day at City National and basically asked Alex, what is it like to mentally to handle this break and get ready for the San Jose Sharks?
Different guys do different things. Some guys might be thinking about it constantly and they're getting excited for it. Other guys might take a few days off and not think about it and just worry about practice and day by day and maybe fixing some bumps and bruises or just preparing for San Jose as a whole and stuff. And we're not talking about San Jose too much. We're not trying to think about it too much because it's still could be 2, 3, 4 days away, however many days. But no, we're just still worried about us and fixing our game and tweaking our game a little bit.
Is it kind of a disadvantage to not knowing when your next game is? I mean, obviously, kind of at the mercy of the NHL to tell you when you guys are playing next?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, no one really knows when the next game is and stuff, except for, like, when you're in round. So you don't know. I mean, we'll play Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know what else, but we're not too worried about it. We are capable of adjusting to any schedule, and just like you're capable of adjusting to any team you play.
Because you guys saw San Jose 4 times in the year, knowing that you've known for a week that you guys are playing them, are you focusing more when you're prepping for them on what they did in the series against Anaheim, or do you focus more on the 4 games you played against them in the season?
I think everything, you take pieces from everything that they've done all year long and in the series, and we know what type of team they are, and they're an unbelievable team, and they got a lot of firepower on the back end and front end, and it's going to be a really good series, I think. And so I mean, we can't worry, we got to worry about us as much as possible, and we'll pre-scout them, we'll do everything we do, same stuff as we did before we played LA and while we played LA and stuff, and hopefully pull out another win.
You told me earlier in the year that Mom wasn't a fan of the mustache. She made you shave it for Christmas cards. What does she think of the beard?
She understands it. She understands the reason behind it and stuff. And she's like, oh, wait till you shave that beard. You're going to have a great tan line. And I'm like, she's right, too. It's going to be miserable. But no, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'll have a reverse beard summertime.
Is there a little satisfaction from you and Eric knowing that you guys are still playing and Minnesota's not?
I mean, we got a lot of friends on the team, so I mean, you feel bad for them and that their season's over and stuff. And I mean, I don't know really. I wasn't really thinking about that, and I've been just thinking about our team and continue to play with this team. And I know I played for Minnesota a couple games last year and stuff, but I can't think too much about it. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Is it kind of hard to watch, though, that knowing that you have friends on that team, knowing that they, again, didn't make it out the first round?
It's a business. It happens. Whether they made it for, I mean, if we both made it to the conference finals and We beat them. I mean, or they beat us, and it's the business. So it doesn't. I mean, you try not to think about other teams and how your buddies are doing and stuff like that, because there's next year and stuff like that. So I mean, they take a little break and then they prepare for next season. And you're still worried about this season right now. So you can't really worry about other teams and buddies and stuff. You're worried about the guys in this locker room and the crust in your chest.
Alex Tuck, who this guy has grown up into a veteran NHL hockey playing man right in front of our eyes this season. Saw him at the developmental camp with all the youngsters out there, and he was a little bit older but still very young himself and mature, saying the right stuff, knowing what to do, loving life in Vegas, and won't throw any shade at all on his former teammates there in Minnesota. Says that, you know, he's got a lot of friends on the team and he feels bad for him. I still have a feeling, and I'm not, this is just my opinion, I still think he's happier for himself than he is feeling bad about the guys in Minnesota.
Yeah, he is, and real polished with the microphone. He's a guy, so he's 22 years old, but in 15 years when he hangs them up, he's going to go right into the broadcast booth.
Yeah, it certainly would not surprise me at all, and probably on the TV side of it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, I'm just wondering, what do you do for the reverse beard? Do you put a little...
extra sunscreen.
Put sunscreen at it, or
Hawaiian,
you know?
Tropic.
So,
tanning oil.
We'll see what he does. I'm not going to have that problem because I'm not shaving mine off even after the playoffs. I really don't care. But believe it or not, there's other stuff going on in the NHL besides just the Golden Knights and San Jose coming up.
There is, and there was a really cool moment for a fellow that played an awful lot of years in the NHL. You may remember him.
Gasparitis just took Wayne Gretzky out in neutral territory, and here's Travis Green firing, save made, rebound.
That's right. Darius Kasparaitis in the news. A guy that played so long ago that he played against Gretzky, like we heard in that. He is now 45 years old, but a really cool moment for him. He and Dinis Zubris, who's 39, are finally getting to play together. The two best players in the history of Lithuania finally getting to play for Lithuania for the first time together in the World Championships. They're 2-0. They beat Romania and Croatia, and they both got two assists in those games. But the two of them finally getting to play for Lithuania.
And just to make sure that I'm on the same page as you, I know we have the under-18 tournament going on. Mm-hmm. This isn't the senior tournament.
No.
This is actually just the World Championship.
This is the regular World Championships. It's the B group, and the way that this works is the B group, the winner of this would get to go up to the A group, and then next time around they'll play in the A group, and the winner of that would get to go up to the regular World Championships, where Team USA and Canada and Russia and all them are going to be. But Darius Kasparaitis, he goes so far back that he played an Olympics. He played three Olympics for Russia, one for the Unified Team, and he played the World Juniors for the Soviet Union.
All right, so there you have it. So that's pretty cool stuff. 45
yeah.
years old, still going out there, loving the game.
And he's got a plus minus of 5.
Good for him.
Two games. They got three more coming up, and hopefully they will advance and make it up to the A group for next time around.
So he's got a better plus minus than anybody on the Kings had in the playoffs.
Yes. Yes, he does at 45 years old. So good on you, Darius Kasparaitis. One other news from international hockey. Ilya Vorobyov has been named head coach of Russia. He's going to compete at the World Championships. They let go their former coach, Oleg Zarnok, who got them the gold medal in the Olympics. They said he's psychologically tired. Vladislav Tretiak, who is the president of the Ice Hockey Federation, said that is why the move has been done, and Zarnok will stay on as a consultant.
And there you have it. So, you know, it's interesting, too, because we're all obviously 100% devoted and into the Stanley Cup playoffs, but even when teams get eliminated, they're still being asked to go to the World Championship to do other stuff. New Jersey Devils, Taylor Hall just said no thank you to Canada. Canada's got a pretty big, deep roster. I think they'll be fine without Taylor Hall, but he will not be performing there. However, two other Devils did tell Team USA that they will join them for the World Championships, and that is goalie Keith Kincaid and Will Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple guys, they're out of the playoffs. but they still want to play hockey.
And starting May 4th, that's when the World Championships for the main draw will go. Team USA going to keep your eye on NHL Network. They're going to carry all of Team USA and all of Team Canada's games, as well as some select other games throughout the tournament.
And I'm sure, just like myself, you and Chris and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and a lot of people, we will be tuned in because I do love the international hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening over in Denmark.
All right. Well, you know, we do have the San Jose Sharks coming up. Will it be Thursday? Will it be Friday? As soon as they officially let us know, we will pass it on to you. But we want to get the San Jose look at things, see how things are looking up there. And from the Sharks' viewpoint, what guys are going to be there, what aren't, who is not going to be there, how this matchup works. We'll talk with Marcus White from NBC Bay Area next. And the final segment today, we're going to have a little fun with superheroes. If they were NHL style and VGK style, who would fill the roles in different things? We'll get to that and a lot more here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Karnisch, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. And Clayton, joined now by a gentleman from NBC Bay Area, Marcus White, joins us via the phone. And Marcus, how you doing? And hey, they're not telling us anything here in Vegas. Do we know when this series is starting out?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Haven't heard anything official, so your guess is as good as mine. Hopefully it happens within the next decade, but I'm not sure if we'll be able to have it happen by then, given this wait.
Yeah, hopefully before the NHL Awards at the end of June.
Yes. Hopefully, you know, they're not just having us go there to Vegas for the NHL Awards. Although it'd be a smart way to, you know, double up, kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, and in worst case scenario, we can just get one of those new cool bubble hockey machines, and then you and I can just go at it. We just decide it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it'd probably be just as close to the series there as it's going to be on the ice when these two teams meet. Hopefully within the next couple days.
I'm not sure your guys' goaltending is going to be as good, though. In the L.A. Kings series against the Vegas Golden Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury and Jonathan Quick were absolutely sensational for both their teams. But Martin Jones was equally good for San Jose against Anaheim, wasn't he?
Yeah, Martin Jones maybe had his best performance as a goaltender in his history in the playoffs, and that's saying a lot for a guy who, you know, pretty much single-handedly extended the first-round series last year, made the Stanley Cup final go six games in 2016, rather. He was really impressive last round. Didn't finish the season as hot as John Gibson or Ryan Miller did, but outplayed Gibson completely in four games and really stood on his head in that game four. I always go back to a save he made at the end of the second period on Corey Perry, just denying him at the doorstep, which really kind of summed up the Ducks series. They weren't able to get much of anything going despite having a lot of good chances, and Jones was there to stop them every step of the way.
There's a big narrative about San Jose being a big, heavy, mean team, and I think that's really who they were maybe 2 years ago. I see a lot of talent and skill on this roster. As a guy that covers them every day, do you lead more towards them being a fast skill team or a heavy hitting team?
I think you were dead on at the beginning of that question. I think the mean, tough, heavy San Jose team was really, you know, best defined 2 years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final, playing against St. Louis and Los Angeles, and, you know, kind of wouldn't want to say out physicaling them, but, you know, going toe to toe with them physically. And then in the Cup final, getting skated around by the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Sharks have really emphasized acquiring speed and integrating speed into their lineup over the last couple of years, signing Mikael Bodker 2 summers ago. Timo Meier and Kevin LeBanc are up with the team. Chris Tierney playing a significant role. He's a good skater. Marcus Sorensen, who, you know, out of nowhere had such a high scoring first round as a fourth line player, but really adds a lot of speed to that lineup. Then, you know, they kind of left behind the older, you know, the old guard of the Pacific Division, much how Vegas swept the Los Angeles Kings out of the first round. The Sharks swept the heavy, slower Anaheim Ducks out of the first round. And Anaheim really didn't have an answer for San Jose's skating ability, especially without Cam Fowler in the lineup. So I think these are two teams that really like to fly on the ice. And I think we're going to have an entertaining series for that reason here in the second round.
When you talk about the series between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks, Vegas' first-round opponent, every game was low-scoring against the Kings, which kind of fits the way that the Kings like to play, but Vegas still managed to win them all. Do you see it being more high-scoring in this series? Because the teams both have a lot of speed, like we mentioned. They can play heavy if they need to here and there, but they also have very good goaltending, so I'm not 100% sure how it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be the same one night as it is the next night.
Yeah, you mentioned goaltending, and I think if the goaltenders have anything to say about it, we're probably not going to see a lot of goals this series. I wrote a piece about it this week on NBCSportsBayArea.com that, you know, Jones and Fleury had two of the best single-series performances by goaltenders in NHL history. You know, we're talking both in the top 20 of guys that, you know, started at least three games in a playoff series. They ranked in the top 20 in terms of save percentage, and this is the first time that two guys in the top 20 of that list are playing each other in the following round. So, you know, I think there's going to be chances both ways. I think the Sharks have given up a little bit in the way of shot quality, a little more than you might expect, kind of given some of those numbers against the Ducks and how well that Martin Jones played. And I think there's going to be chances traded back and forth, and it's going to be an even series. But, you know, given how well Fleury's played all year, how well Jones played last round and his reputation as a playoff performer, I expect it to be a little more like the Vegas-Los Angeles series in terms of how low scoring it is, as opposed to kind of the more open-ended games of the San Jose-Anaheim series in the first round.
We saw San Jose go out and make the big deal to bring in Evander Kane. He came with a lot of preconceived notions. Many people in Buffalo saying he was the reason that Buffalo wasn't any good. He was a locker room cancer. He was a problem on the ice. He seems to have fit in really well in San Jose. What have you seen out of him on and off the ice that has made this work?
Now, on the ice, I think he's been such a good fit alongside Joe Pavelski and Jonas Donskoy on that top line, adding an element of speed that, you know, the top line didn't necessarily have with Joe Thornton in the lineup, and then with Joe Thornton out of the lineup, Pavelski's never really going to be considered a burner in his own right, and adding Kane there added an element of speed that the line was otherwise missing, and added a little bit of edge and nastiness to it. I can't totally speak to how he's fit in off the ice, you know, only really seeing him in post-game and availability and stuff. But, you know, his teammates seem to say he's fitting in well, and, you know, they it helps, I'm sure, that he's scoring goals and playing as well as he is. And, you know, they've spoken highly about his time there and how he's come into that locker room. So, you know, I'm not as sure about the off-ice fit because, you know, I'm just not around them 24/7, but on the ice, it's clear as day that he's, you know, fit in really well on that top line and kind of just giving the Sharks a deeper look, because that's allowed Timo Meier to form a really solid third line alongside Chris Tierney and Kevin LeBanc, and that's really the key in the NHL these days. I mean, you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins the last 2 years and how they've won Stanley Cups. They've got Crosby, Malkin, and Phil Kessel all on separate lines. And that's not to say Timo Meier's Phil Kessel or anything close at this point of his career, but it takes depth to win in the NHL, and Kane's presence has allowed the Sharks to be a little deeper than they were before they acquired him, and certainly while Joe Thornton was out.
Marcus White from NBC Bay Area joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. A lot's been made about how long both of these teams have been sitting on the sidelines, but with both of them sweeping their first-round opponents, it's been about the same. San Jose one fewer day than Vegas, so it's pretty even there. Because it's been such an extended layoff, has that helped some of the players for the Sharks get a little bit healthier? I know Hurdle, they say, is healthy now. And, of course, the question that everybody seems to be asking is, when will Joe Thornton enter this round of the playoffs? Because down here, it seems to be everybody seems to be thinking that he will be playing at some point here soon.
Yeah, that's the $7 million question, isn't it? Whether or not Joe Thornton's going to play in this series. I think he's the person who's most helped by this extra time off. You know, he's still working to get his way back into the lineup. He's been a regular in practice now, skating on the fifth line. Took part in every warm up for each game this series. Although, you know, DeBoer did rule him out for game one of this series. I think there's a good chance he does come back. Now, having said that, he said that he doesn't want to come back before he's sure he can really give it his all. He said, you know, he doesn't want to come back when his knee is 50 or 60% like it was in that first round series against the Edmonton Oilers last year after he, you know, basically played without any knee cartilage. The injury to this, to his right knee, his other knee, isn't as serious as that one was, but, you know, 38 years old, a long NHL career that's taken up a lot of time on his body. So I think, and, you know, there are other guys on the Sharks too that are dealing with some injuries. Brent Burns missed a few skates, missed a few morning skates. Melker Karlsson took a maintenance day recently. They're both back in full practice now. So I think, you know, just a little bit of time off will help them get healthy, but the biggest beneficiary is clearly Joe Thornton. Whether or not that means he comes back for this series, I think is an open question. But, you know, if I had to guess, I would say he is a very good chance he comes back late in the series. But that's just entirely my guess.
How do you think the series plays out? Who advances onto the next round?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really close. I thought the same thing about both first-round series last round, so I'm not really sure if my judgment should be trusted here. But, I look at the dynamics of each team. Both goaltenders are playing well. Sharks' power play is on fire. The Knights' penalty kill is on fire. I think this one goes the distance, and ultimately I would give a slight edge to the Golden Knights if it does, because, you know, the Sharks have not won in Vegas all season. But I look at this one basically as a coin flip, guys.
All right. Where can they find your stuff, Marcus?
You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus P. White. You can also read my stuff at NBCSportsBayArea.com. Go to the Sharks page, and you can find my stuff under the Great White blog there.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Been a pleasure talking to you. And if you happen to make it down here for the games, look us up. We'd love to have you on live.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hope we can do this again soon throughout the series.
All right, sounds good. Marcus White, NBC Bay Area, and a little insight seeing how it is from San Jose. And, you know, I thought he's being honest there. And we talk about it quite a bit, Clayton, and a lot of people talking about how Vegas has dominated the regular season. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means something because they know they can play with him and it gives them that kind of confidence. But the playoffs are a whole different animal. And if Joe Thornton does come back and it's the Hall of Fame Joe Thornton that people have seen throughout his career, that's a big difference maker. The Evander Kane thing, as you pointed out the other day, we've already played the Sharks with Evander Kane. Mm-hmm.
And I go back to that game in San Jose with Malcolm Subban right after everyone was wondering what was going on with Marc-Andre Fleury after he had come out here at T-Mobile. And that was a really good, entertaining hockey game. And I remember talking to you on the post-game show and said, hey, if we can get that for six or seven games, sign me up. But these two teams, I think, are a whole lot closer than people are giving them credit for. And I expect a very good effort out of the San Jose Sharks. And I think to get by San Jose will say a whole lot more about this Vegas team than getting by LA did.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going out on a super big limb here, but I don't think we're going to see a sweep in this one. However, this is, I believe, the eighth time now in the NHL that two teams that have swept their previous series are facing each other. The team that's won that series has won the Stanley Cup six of the seven times it's happened before. So whoever does get out of this next round, it could bode well, or it could mean nothing, because it was the first round that both of them swept here.
But really, the West is going to give you two really good series. You want to talk about a crackerjack of a series going to be Nashville and Winnipeg. That's going to be fantastic. I just hope that they put us on alternate days so that we can catch every game of that.
That would be nice, and if not alternate days, maybe at least alternate times so we can watch both of them. We'll find out. The NHL does what the NHL does. When we come back, one thing that they did recently, they did a little fun with, a lot of people love the superhero movies, and I guess there's a new Avenger movie coming out. Well, they took an NHL version of what people would be certain Avengers. We're going to tell you who they said of that and then give our thoughts on who the Golden Knights equivalents of those people would be. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Having a little fun next on the Golden Knights Station. Welcome back. Final go-round Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Tuesday, getting ready for what we think and hope is going to be a Thursday start for the Golden Knights in San Jose, but still haven't told us anything. Even now on the NHL Network, it says Sharks will face Golden Knights in second round. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. We've known that for over a week now, but that is what it is. You know, one thing about the Golden Knights, and we talk about all the stuff they do around the community here, and certainly they have had a lot of people jump to the forefront. William Karlsson, congratulations on being nominated for the Lady Bing. I'd love to see him get that. Although I kind of have a feeling they may be nominated for that because They really feel like he should be nominated for some other stuff that he didn't get nominated for.
Yeah, but, he didn't have a lot of penalty minutes, though. I mean, he's a swell fella.
He's definitely worthy of that. But there's other things that he could be in there for as well. But Derek England has been nominated for a couple different things. And, boy, this guy, I still remember on the expansion draft night when they picked him. And then I said, well, that's a nice feel-good story and this, that, and other. And I hope that he plays well. Derek England, as much as Carlson has been a surprise with his goal scoring and everything, the leadership, the quality person, and everything else that Derek England is absolutely exceptional.
And he's nominated for the Mark Messier Leadership Award along with Blake Wheeler and Wayne Simmons today.
And also for the Masterson Award, which was announced yesterday. So he's up for a couple things. And I really hope he gets at least one, if not both of those. Because, again, I know other guys for other teams do a lot of stuff too. But Derek England has been absolutely phenomenal for this team. Well, you know, a lot of people think that the comic book movies are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Big trend on that over the last decade or more. And the Avengers are one that people look at a lot. I know our friend Armando loves the Avengers movie, so he's probably at the edge of his seat. Well, hopefully he's actually working right now. Otherwise, his boss will give him some stuff. But he's listening to us, I'm sure, while he's in the warehouse, and he loves the Avenger movies. And the NHL recently gave their list of Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the part of Thor, they say, would be Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dustin Bufflin of Winnipeg would be the Hulk. Alex Ovechkin, the Iron Man. Kind of looks like an Iron Man, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Hawkeye would be Connor McDavid. Captain America, Blake Wheeler. Ant-Man, Johnny Goudreau. And Spider-Man, because he plays in the net and because he so has those spider-like reflexes, Andre Vasilevsky.
Okay.
We were thinking, Chris and I were talking beforehand a little bit, and picked your brain just a little bit about it. What would be the Vegas Golden Knights equivalents of these characters?
And you know that's my favorite game to play, the Vegas Golden Knights production of a movie.
That's why we thought you'd be into this, and we left a couple minutes today, actually.
Yes, it's my favorite thing to do. I love to do it with every movie.
Clearly, we got to go with Marsh Assault as Ant-Man, right?
Yes.
Because he's listed at, 5'10", and I don't think he's 5'10".
His body around. Although Gerard Gallant says not as much as the stats will tell you, but maybe more than he wants him to.
And Jonathan Marsh Assault doesn't know that he's little.
No,
he's like a chihuahua. Doesn't know that they're a little dog. Like Jonathan Marcheseau doesn't know he's small.
It's like the old Woody Hayes thing. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Exactly.
That's Jonathan Marcheseau to a T.
And I'm definitely nominating John Merrill as Captain America.
Interesting. Now, I went with the Canadian as Captain America.
Really?
Yes, it's as in looking at it as North America. Derek England is Captain America.
I could use the Derek England, but I kind of went with Chris because I thought Captain America should be a USA guy. I'm going to take one of the newer knights in Ryan Carpenter because he's a little more unassuming in that, like Captain America was, and a little bit. I like Ryan Carpenter there because Captain America wasn't the guy who's flashy like Iron Man who had the $1 billion and that kind of stuff. I like Ryan Carpenter for my Captain America.
I'm going to break the tie in that between you two, and I'm going to go Ryan Carpenter.
All right.
I'm going with you, Frank.
I'm going to tell Merrill you sold him out now.
Now, Merrill's busy. He's got other. He's casting other roles.
He's Captain Go Blue.
That's right.
Now, I obviously William Carlson is Thor. I mean, there's no place we can go there. And Ryan Reeves is the Incredible Hulk.
Yes, Ryan Reeves, the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, for all you ladies out there, William Carlson was one of the guys getting his picture taken today, so I'm sure they want to see that. Although I don't think he had the Thor hammer and everything during the photo.
No, but he's got the Thor hair right now.
He's got playoff hair.
And he's been
hammering the back of the net all season long.
That's true.
Now, I said David Perron is Doctor Strange because Doctor Strange is a magician, and when I watch David Perron on the ice, the way the puck sticks to his stick, it's very magical.
I don't know who Doctor Strange is. He wasn't on my list of quick
He's like the leader of them, right? You said
Avengers.
He's like the leader of the Avengers?
No. He's just one of the guys. The leader is, I think, Captain America, right? Nick Fury. I said Derek England was Nick Fury because he's kind of like the heart and soul of the Avengers.
The one guy that I had on my list, though, as Iron Man was James Neal because I feel like James Neal has a lot of really expensive toys.
See, to me, Derek England was Iron Man.
Mm.
Or you could go with, because
Neil's got the bigger contract, though. He's got more expensive toys.
he does have nice toys.
Yeah.
By the way, Spider-Man, Marc-Andre Fleury. He's the goaltender. He's got those reflexes and everything. And his spidey senses tell him when there's a turnover or something, he'd better be ready.
Mine was Tomasz Nosek, because there's a whole lot of Peter Parker in Tomasz Nosek.
Ooh, I like that, actually.
So, Chris, break the tie.
I'm going with Nosey. I like Nosek as Spider-Man.
You're just bitter because I got the other
no,
one.
No.
And the one that really is Hawkeye, and that's Colin Miller because he's got the massive shot.
That was my pick.
He does have the massive shot. Though David Perron has that vision when he's making those assists. True. T.C. Martin's up next. He's the Doctor Strange of Fox Sports Radio. Talk to you tomorrow.